Again, utter hypocrisy.
You're talking about the opening with Morgan Freeman?
Correct.
Ya ayyuha an-nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha.
Women are treated with so much more respect. I'm from Texas. When I go places here, I feel safer 100%.
I think for what we Europeans have been doing in the last 3,000 years around the world, we should be apologizing for the next 3,000 years before starting to give moral lessons.
I just think it's fraught with hypocrisy.
You know, another one was like, I heard the adhan.
A las 5 de la mañana están rezando acá, escuchen.
Let me introduce you to my face. We have one God, His name's Allah, Allah. And His final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon Him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum. Feel like I was here yesterday. I love coming to this community. I really feel at home. Thank you guys for having me again, me and Hassan. You know, my father's, I used to come here with my father. I don't even remember. His name is Hassan also. Now I got my brother here, Hassan. Mashallah. So, alhamdulillah, we're going to go ahead and you guys have seen some of the other episodes that we filmed and we air it. And alhamdulillah, we're making some history again here, filming another episode of the Deen Show at the Boca Raton Masjid here in Florida. Now let's get into some exciting news. You know, guys, there's a country in the world that doesn't allow gum sale, chewing gum. Do you guys know that? It's been illegal since 1992. They want to make their country as clean as possible. If you go to that country, you know, you can't be chewing gum and putting it, you know, under the train seats or on the seat or whatnot. And we got to respect that. But it doesn't seem now like people, you know, you're an expert in the area. And you guys know this is a civil rights attorney, someone who was the former executive of CARE, and you have been on the front line dealing with many of the Muslim challenges that are out there, the Islamophobia, but it seems like it just creeps his head out now at the World Cup.
There's a lot of Islamophobia becoming very visible. I think that what's happening with the World Cup is a great, almost like a canary in the coal mine, you know, giving off the alert to sift through and expose the utter hypocrisy and Islamophobia that is deeply entrenched in a lot of the European media, European government, and when I say European, that includes sort of the greater Western Europe, you know, the US and Canada and many of the Western nations are birth product of the European heritage, and it's becoming extremely evident to the point where it's extremely frustrating.
I want your comments on this. There was the president of the soccer, FIFA, Gianni Infantino, I believe it is, where he's defending the stance here. He's talking about that he's European, and he's saying that us European, we should be apologizing for what we've done over the past 3,000 years, for the next 3,000 years, before we go ahead and give him moral advice.
That's the hypocrisy is on the other side. When you pretend to have a moral and give moral lessons to others, but in reality your situation is maybe not that good either. I think for what we Europeans have been doing in the last 3,000 years around the world, we should be apologizing for the next 3,000 years before starting to give moral lessons to people. Don't criticize Qatar, don't criticize the players, don't criticize anyone. Criticize FIFA, criticize me.
What do you think about?
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing a lot of basically Western white supremacy, where they want to impose their culture, their beliefs, their practices upon the world and really belittle and ridicule those who don't adopt their ways, whatever those ways are. That's unfortunately what's happening. And the reality is what you see with the World Cup being in Qatar. I mean, mashallah, Qatar is a state that is known historically for standing by a lot of beautiful Muslim causes, beautiful philanthropic causes. And it's showing the best of what the Muslim community has to offer. I mean, they've invested heavily in Dawah programs and Dawah campaigns. They had an ayah of Quran recited actually in the World Cup opening ceremony. So it's very different to the kind of the Middle East, the kind of Islam and Muslims that the Western world has promoted. So if you look at how the Western world has promoted the Muslim community over the last several decades, they've showed us as backward, ignorant, dangerous, violent, nasty people. And then you have the very strong contrast of what's being presented through the beautiful displays of the World Cup. So I think that's enraging them. So they're finding every excuse to condemn Qatar, to condemn the Muslim faith, to condemn the Muslim culture. And they'll say they're not doing that. But for example, as Muslims, we believe our Lord created us from a man and a woman. We believe that men marry women, women marry men. That is the natural God-given way for humanity. And if somebody desires other than that, we don't hate them as an individual. But we certainly believe, as God revealed in the Quran, in the Injil, the gospel given to Jesus, peace be upon him, and in the Torah given to Musa alayhi salam, to Moses, peace be upon him, all of God's messengers taught that to deviate from a permissible relationship that is only to be found between a husband and wife, to seek sexual fulfillment through other than that, is to destroy one's soul, is to destroy one's body, is to destroy one's community. So, of course, the Muslim faith does not condone endorsing those lifestyles that are considered deviant in all of the faith religions. So the point is, they want to impose that. You know, you have some of the European teams wanting to wear flags that support that kind of lifestyle. And subhanAllah, it's like, we're not coming into your countries and imposing our way of life and saying, you have to go to the mosque and pray. We don't go to Europeans and Americans and say, you have to come to the mosque and pray. We don't go to them and say, you have to, you know, wear a flag that has the kalima on it. You know what I'm saying? We're not imposing your way of life. Why are you trying to impose your way of life on us? And it isn't just an attack against Qatar, but it's an attack against, I would say, Muslim beliefs, but really traditional Abrahamic beliefs as a whole. It's an attack against, the divine message that Allah sent to all humanity. And it's very, very hypocritical. And sorry, one more point, Eddie. Yes, I mean, you see the German team, you know, last year or whenever it was, one of the Muslim players on the German team spoke out for the oppression and the injustice that our Uyghur brothers and sisters were going through. What did the Germans do? Did they support him?
They punished him, didn't they?
Did they endorse him? No, they punished him to the point where he was forced off the team.
Wow.
He was punished for speaking his voice. And his hypocritical teammates now, when they're in Qatar, they want to cover their mouths, you know, trying to shame Qatar, trying to shame the Muslim world, you know, for certain reasons. But okay, why didn't you cover your mouths when your own teammate was punished for speaking about the slaughter of Muslims that is happening in China? The BBC is another example. The BBC, they aired the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. They had no problem airing even though China was persecuting and slaughtering and torturing and enslaving our Uyghur Muslim brothers and sisters. But if Muslim blood is being shed, it's okay to turn a blind eye, it's okay to support the state. But that same BBC, when Qatar had an opening ceremony with a powerful message that if you didn't watch, I urge you to Google it and watch it, that showed that Allah created us from different nations and tribes that we can learn from each other. It had a message of peace, of unity, of love. They didn't want to air it. Again, utter hypocrisy.
You're talking about the opening with Morgan Freeman?
Correct. BBC did not air that.
They didn't air that.
They didn't air that, but they didn't have a problem airing the Chinese opening ceremony for the Olympics.
Wow, yeah, that's amazing. They didn't open it.
They didn't air it.
Wow, subhanAllah. You even had Piers Morgan. Didn't he also point out some of the hypocrisy? Piers,
yes.
Talking about the abortion, talking about the illegal occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan.
I'm going to Qatar. And also, I've got to say, I find a lot of this sports watching debate laced with rank hypocrisy. And I mean, for example, 8 of the countries in the last 32, that's a quarter of the countries in the World Cup finals, outlaw homosexuality. So if you're going to use that as the stick to beat Qatar with, you have to then beat the other 7 countries. You don't have a World Cup. And if you don't have it in Qatar, which is the first Middle Eastern country to have it, where do you have the World Cup? Do you go to Africa, where many countries, it's illegal to be homosexual? Do you go there? So that rules out that continent. Do you go to America, which has rather draconian laws about abortion, which play very badly, for example, in the UK? In other words, once you start putting your moral halo on,
right,
where does it stop? And who is morally clean enough to actually host a World Cup? Are we the country that illegally invaded Iraq? Are we morally clean enough to host a World Cup? I mean, I just think it's fraught with hypocrisy.
Exactly. And that's the other point, is since when did the political games become such a political event? Now, look, I've spent my life in politics speaking truth to power, challenging injustice. Generally, you know, there is a benefit to certain functions like the World Cup if they're done right, you know, which is to bring global communities together. And as people gather, you can use that for trade, for business, for dawah. Now, what Qatar did was incredible, by the way, in banning alcohol sales. You had people saying, we've never seen games like this, because people are less rowdy, less angry, less destructive without that.
Because you have many, not just Piers Morgan, but other people who are also seeing the hypocrisy. He was one of them that was pointing this out. And he mentioned some of these things, like, who are you now to be the moral police?
Oh, right, exactly.
Because everyone wants to be the moral police.
100%. And this is the ironic thing. Respectfully, no Middle Eastern country has done a fraction of the global harms that some of the Western nations have done. And this is a statistical fact. You can't debate it. I mean, I'm an American, we're Americans, and America happens to be the only country that's used nuclear weapons to incinerate hundreds of thousands of human beings. And we justify it. Literally, we burn to the death hundreds of thousands of babies, women, children, in the nuclear bombing of Japan, in the illegal invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. How many millions were killed or injured or displaced? ISIS was created as a result of that illegal invasion. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. You know, it reminds you of the ayat of the Quran, and if they are told do not cause corruption on the earth, they say we are only peacemakers, but rather they are the corrupt ones. So, subhanallah, this is the truth. Britain, I mean, they colonized like a third of the world. You know, I was just watching a brief clip of the great shaheed and scholar, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status, Umar al-Mukhtar of Libya, who was a Quran teacher teaching children in the desert. But as the Italians were persecuting and oppressing his people, he took up arms to resist, and he fought for freedom and liberty and justice until he was illegally captured and hung and executed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him amongst the shuhada. So the point here is, if you look at Italy, you look at the United Kingdom, you look at the United States, I mean, literally they've killed so many civilians across the world, and yet they're still hosting these kinds of events and tournaments, and nobody's condemning them, and you know, it's all good. But when a Muslim country does it, okay, now they have to find every single flaw. It's utter hypocrisy, it's shameful, and it's time, I think, as Muslims, we stand up and are proud of our faith and our heritage. And you know what, we take ownership of our identity as part of these countries. So I'm a proud American. But I'm going to tell you what, my fellow Americans, it's time we stop worshiping a human being. If you call yourself Christian and you want to follow Jesus Christ, follow the one who created Jesus and his mother. Don't worship a human being. Follow Jesus Christ by worshiping the Lord he worshiped, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's time we as Muslims stop being shy about this. Like, I'm embarrassed, man. I see a CEO making 8 figures, you know, whatever it is, in a 3-piece suit, and he's praying to a little statue, or he's praying to a man, even though he knows that man used to call upon the greater one. It's time we stop. Listen, we got kids, we raise them. Men are to be men, women are to be women. Men are to marry women, women are to marry men. And if you feel like you want to do other than that, my brothers and sisters, we got to teach them that's not the right way. We have to be good examples. If you feel like you want to sleep around and have dozens of sexual partners, that's not the right way. If you want to get wasted every weekend and destroy your brain cells and kill your liver by joining the party culture and drink, you're destroying yourselves. Islam came to save you from being a slave to your desires. See, Islam says do not be a slave to your desires, be a slave to your Lord. Modern Western culture teaches you to worship yourself, worship your desires. Whatever the self says, do, you say obey, until the self destroys you. And this has been proven psychologically. Those who obey their desires, who do whatever they want every single time, they don't find peace or happiness or growth. In every spiritual path, it is those who resist the desires of the self, who acquire discipline, who strive for a greater good, for what's right, what's moral, what's ethical, they are the ones that grow. So my simple point, my dear brother, is as an American, I want to say I'm proud to be American because it gives me freedom to practice my faith. And I'm going to use that freedom to say, listen, I don't want you to stop hating me. I don't want you to stop discriminating against me. I don't want you to stop attacking me. Yeah, that's all fine and dandy, but I want you to understand I'm proud to be Muslim. My faith is something beautiful to offer to all humanity, that we stop worshiping men and women. We stop worshiping gods of wood and stone and dollar bills. We stop worshiping our own desires and we start turning to the one who created us, because we will meet him and then we will know what mattered most.
Well, I hope you guys can feel, I can feel it. I hope you can feel it out there, this love, this passion, you know, and it's coming your way. That's why we're doing this. Pointing out some of the hypocrisy here, just to go on, you had, and I think you mentioned one of the names, and there's so many examples. You have a cricket master who was by the name of Mohan Ali, who was just banned from the soccer, from cricket, for wearing a wristband protesting what was happening in Palestine. You also mentioned the one soccer player who was punished for standing up and wearing something or speaking out at a game for the oppression of Muslims in China. You just had in Palestine, just happened right now, a young boy was shot dead on his way to school by Israeli forces. And it seems like the West is more in a rage because someone couldn't enter the game because they denied him because he had a rainbow shirt.
This is what's preposterous. This is what blows our minds as American Muslims. Literally, we see Palestinian children being killed in cold blood by bullets paid for by our tax dollars in Palestine by the Israelis. And utter silence from these so-called human rights world leaders with their nose up and their arrogance. But as a Muslim society, if we say, hey, you know what, we don't think people should be identified by their sexuality, that shouldn't be the forefront. That's what's for the bedroom is for the bedroom. It's not something to be discussed in public. Then there's all the outrage in the world. What utter hypocrisy, which shows that for these people, I mean, really, the Muslim blood is cheaper than even people's sexual identity. It's a shame. The West can start lecturing us on human rights when they actually start valuing the blood of all humanity equally.
There's a couple more points. One thing that has not hit mainstream news, and you don't see any of the, many people here probably don't even know about it. Most people haven't heard about it, but there's a famous Balenciaga. It's a clothing brand that just recently had a young baby girl dressed in bondage and promoting what would be,
you know, as far as like none of the celebrities. So this just shows you all celebrities are controlled. You don't see no celebrities talking about the Balenciaga situation, right? So that just shows you all of these celebrities out here, don't let them influence you in any way, because they're controlled by the people who really influence the world.
And this is something very sad. There's a lot of Christians who are outraged. There are a lot of people who are speaking out against this, but you don't see any of the soccer players, any closing of the mouth. You don't see any protests for this exploitation of children that's happening today. This push, you know about this?
You know what it is? Yes, I saw that. I mean, very disturbing, right? You have little kids holding teddy bears of bondages and bondage items scattered around the room, and a Supreme Court case that makes room for pedophilia.
Why this is like set up systematic? Why is that on the table there in the ad?
And what kind of subliminal messages are they sending? And how the heck did that get approved? But I'm not surprised. I mean, this is, you know, one of the popular songs that's out right now. It talks about liquor bottles and a new Balenciaga and these things. The reason I mention this is, we have a community and a culture that promotes all sorts of indecency and then is surprised at the result of that. You know, promotes all sort of sexual indecency. I'm not even talking about homosexual, I'm talking about heterosexual, but you know, having relationships without respect, without responsibilities. Islam says, before you enjoy the company of a woman, dedicate yourself to her, honor her, respect her, commit to her. This is how you honor. Do not take substances like alcohol that destroy your judgment. You know, respect your body. Respect the opposite gender. Be a person of honor. You have the Western culture that just says, do what you feel like. But they're going to draw arbitrary moral lines. And if you cross one of those arbitrary moral lines, they create this fabricated outrage. it's hypocritical. You have a culture that really struggles with even issues of rape and consent, and what is right and what is wrong. And that is why you have so much unreported rapes in this country. You have just complete breakdown of families in this country. When are we going to realize that our own desires cannot be our Lord? We have to find guidance from the divine. That's what it all comes down to, not finding our moral compass from the divine. When we leave it to ourselves, we lead ourselves to ruin. When we submit, that's what Islam means. You submit, you realize your weakness and God's greatness, and you submit to His way. That is when you find the peace and the guidance and security. And all of the stuff we're finding is from a total deviance from having that pure, divinely oriented moral compass.
I want to wrap up, but it's really amazing to see Americans who are living in this area of the world who are actually, they're not Muslim, but they're stepping up. There was a woman who was complaining about being in an all-women's line. And then a woman steps up and says, hey, you know, I want to be in that line.
This girl is shocked about the ladies-only line. She doesn't think it makes her feel very special. It's a security line that's only for women. They're separated by men and women. Not because women are mistreated, because they are better treated. As an American female living in the Middle East myself, I prefer these lines. When I go places, I am moved either, if there's not a women's only line, I'm typically moved to the front of the line, especially if I have my children. There's also parking that's just for women, and it's usually the closest to the door. And as well, the metro lines, there's a women's only cart. Everything over here on this side of the world in the Middle East, I'm in Dubai, women are treated with so much more respect. I'm from Texas. When I go places here, I feel safer 100%.
And live in their country, which is welcoming and accepting, and living with a lot of different nationalities all living together. It's a very safe environment. I've never felt so safe.
But it's not as bad as what people say. We've had a great time here. And we've had a life that we wouldn't have had in England.
And then other people who are coming up and talking about, you know, another one was like, I heard the adhan.
A las 5 de la mañana están rezando acá, escuchen. Qué viaje, qué viaje.
Sí.
Okay, perdón.
You know, this reporter, he's like, you know, wow, it's like, you know, so amazing. So my point is, when people are going to that, because there's been this push, like, if you go over there, they're going to chop your head off, all this outlandish, crazy stuff. But people who actually get out of the box, out of their neighborhood, and they go and they fly, they connect with Muslims. Have you yourself seen, you know, a change? Like, we're seeing this.
SubhanAllah, we're seeing it a lot. And you know what? Even here in the U.S., I mean, why is it that so many women who a few years ago may have been going at the clubs and drinking whatever they want and sleeping around and in the bikinis, why are they choosing every day to leave that lifestyle to say, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah alone. Having their sins purified, dressing in hijab and modesty, praying 5 times a day, giving up those kinds of lifestyles. Why are they giving up that so-called freedom and embracing Islam by the thousands?
Their
regularly
choice.
It's their choice, because they realize a hedonistic way of worshiping your desires will never give that peace, will never give that success, and certainly will not benefit us when we breathe our last. People are thirsty to know their Lord, to know where they came from, to know where they're going, to know the one who created them and who provides for them and who loves them. And the rules of Islam, it isn't about punishment, it isn't about harshness. It's just simply your instruction manual. You buy a car, it comes with a manual, what to do, what not to do, so you don't wreck it. Same way Allah created us, He gave us a manual for how we can have that peace, that tranquility, that success, and that happiness. And there's a reason people are choosing to leave the deviant lifestyles and are embracing some, whether they're men or women, by choice, because they realize a life of drinking, of alcohol, of drugs, of open relationships, it doesn't bring that peace of mind, that the honor and the guidance and the modesty and dignity that Islam brings to humanity gives them. And that's why they're choosing it, and that's why we're grateful to be Muslim. And that's why we invite everybody watching to say, you know, get to know more about Islam. If you're Muslim, appreciate it. Don't take it for granted. Invest in learning your faith. And if you're not Muslim yet, we're waiting for you. Remember, we all have one Creator, and He sent Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad as the best role models, peace be upon them all, to guide us to Him. Let us learn their way and follow their footsteps, that we can be sources of mercy and guidance for humanity. And that's ultimately what Islam will make you. Islam doesn't make you hateful. You're not going to look at any one person who's engaging in any form of sin and hate them. Rather, you're going to feel sympathy that you want them to find, that peace that they're looking for at the bottom of a liquor bottle, but that you know they will never find it. You want them to be the best version of themselves. That is what Islam makes.